Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite and glide. Hello friends, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z Rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler. Joining me for the discourse on this episode is Dave.
Hello.
Aaron.
Hello.
Jason.
Hey.
And that's it. I ended Jason like there were more, but that's it.
Are they hiding?
They might be hiding. You never know with this group.
The old...
They might be on some remote island somewhere.
The old cast member in the ground trick.
This is episode 52 of the podcast, so we are quite a ways into Dragon Ball Z, the hit anime.
Sure are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start the discussion off light and fluffy on
God
this episode.
It. I do love that.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it going.
Like an omelet.
Mm-hmm.
Jason.
Yeah.
You have a quiz for us.
I have a quiz. I have some special information for all y'all that are listening in podcast land. By the time this episode should go up, maybe the 24th of April, but somewhere around that area, I just wanted to let you guys know that there is a manga debut birthday that coincides with April 24th, and I just wanted to bring that to your attention, that on April 24th, we got the Ginyu Force.
Whoa!
It is their collective birthday.
Oh my god.
Well, that's what makes them the Ginyu Force, is they were all born on the same day.
It's fate.
How do you shop for someone like that?
On different planets.
So, in order to celebrate the Ginyu Force and everything that they are, I have found a quiz on the internet that we shall take as a podcast. Which Ginyu Force member are you?
I can't wait to find out, quite frankly.
There were some quizzes that were stronger than others, and I picked what I believe to have been the strongest quiz, because one of the quizzes was, what is your special move? And the answer being, like, Raccoon Beam. Psychic powers, super speed.
It's a little telling.
It's like those really bad, like, what Hogwarts house are you, like, pre-Pottermore?
Question one, which one's your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, what do you like the most? Bravery, snakes, you know, stuff like that.
God.
So, are you ready, we as a podcast, to determine which member of the Ginyu Force we are?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Never been more ready for anything in my life.
Question one. If you see someone trying to beat up your best friend, what would you do? Team up with your friend to take him down. Take out the jerk with one strike because you're so freaking strong. Creep him out by showing you ass to him. help your friend run away. Use your skills to sneak out and save your friend. Or take the blows for your friend and wait till he wears himself out to be a punching bag.
I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I'm gonna show him you ass.
That's... Yeah, I mean, that's what I do for my friends.
I mean, I feel like it probably has the highest chance of success if all of these things were to be performed by me. That's the one that would be the most likely to actually work.
It would probably get him to stop fighting for like a minute.
Yeah.
As a podcast, we straight creeping.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Question two. You find a treasure chest. What do you do? Hoard it all and savor it. Open it. Duh. Open it as fast as you can. Order your friends to open it for you. Give it to your parents. Share the riches with your family.
Was that two different ones, or is that
those
the same?
Those are two separate ones.
What was the last one?
You can give it to your parents, or share the riches with your family. So that
I would assume give it to your parents would be, like, before opening it?
That's what I assumed. Like, you just
make
give
it their
the unopened
problem.
Chest. Yeah.
They can have the cursed gold.
But what would we do as
a
podcast?
I mean, I would open it, like, not in haste. I would just open it.
Open it, duh. That's what I'm thinking,
too. Yeah, let's open it, duh.
Yeah, duh.
What power would you want the most? This one's a little telling. super speed, to have an arsenal of minor powers like flight, a lot of knowledge, etc. The power to shoot insanely powerful waves of energy. Super endurance, the power to stop time, or any.
That's the specialist option in Hunter x Hunter.
Personally, I want those uber powerful beams, please.
You're a beam boy.
I'm a beam boy.
I mean, we do like the beams here.
We send out sound waves to the people at home, which is kind of like a beam for your mind.
Right, they're the beams for your ears. Yeah. The beams made of sound. In the interest of having a podcast consensus, yes, we'll go with beams.
This one's telling, but also confusing, so get ready. Question 4. What is your favorite color?
Oh.
Blue. Green. Purple. Any. Red. And the last one, red, blue, and purple. Which really... really threw me for a loop, because I thought I had this test pinned down, but then it threw a curveball at me.
It's a wily test.
Swirly.
It's a bucking quiz.
Boy, howdy.
I mean, if we're answering as a podcast, our favorite character is Big Green.
You're right.
Yeah, but that's the Golda one.
Yeah, but it's not going to decide just on favorite color, surely.
I don't want to take that risk. I don't want us to be Goldo.
Can you afford that risk? I'm still hung up on any and also red, blue, and purple as its own extant choice.
Now, is it those combined? Like, they just couldn't come up with that term?
I guess, but
whatever
red, blue,
color
purple,
red, blue, and purple is together.
That would just be purple, though.
Yeah. It would just be a deep purple.
More purple?
Yeah. Extra purple.
A more saturated hue.
Dave, any insight?
Well, my favorite color is blue, so...
Do you like it better than red and purple?
What is your blue to red to purple favorite ratio?
I'm just trying to give Aaron an out. I'm trying to give us an excuse to not pick the Goldo color.
Yeah, I mean, I would also say my favorite is blue as a person.
Yeah, as a person as well, my favorite is blue because Billy the Blue Ranger was my favorite Power Ranger. But I'm also the Quizmaster, so maybe I should recuse myself.
I think I'm just projecting because my favorite color is green.
Oh, no.
How do you feel about blue, Aaron?
I mean, it's good. I like blue.
Is that an acceptable answer?
Yeah.
You're outvoted anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
Fine.
So it's
gosh.
Blue. I'm trying to save you from yourself, Aaron.
We're trying to save you from Goldo. Alright, I will pick blue. Question 5. What animal would you want to be? A lion? A starfish? A shark? A turtle? A rabbit? Or a monkey? It's a kind of Zodiac, but not really.
Shark is always my answer.
What would Destructo Discourse as an entity be?
As an entity, I feel like we're a turtle, because we're just slowly but assuredly crawling through all of DBZ.
That's true.
Steadfast.
We're not hopping around like a rabbit.
We're not... The rabbit would be Kai, because you're hopping from continuity point to continuity point, but we're here... to savor all of that filler, and we will make it to the end of the race first.
Comic-cast. Right.
Is everyone sold for the year of the turtle?
Yeah.
Alright.
It's the school.
Turtle's
it's thematic.
And Turtle's a good boy.
He is a good boy. He's the best boy.
He's too good for this sinful earth. what is your favorite battle strategy? This is question 6. To take your time and slowly wear down the enemy. Teamwork. Good defense. Strike first, strike fast. Train until you defeat the enemy like it's nothing. Or good offense.
We're all about teamwork here on Destructo Discourse.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely.
I co-sign on that. He's done and dusted. Question 7. What is most important to you? Knowledge and abilities. Leadership. Reputation. Family. Joy. Your possessions.
Reputation, give us the Gohan.
That's true.
Yes.
Please leave a 4-star review at the end.
Anybody who doesn't is a goldo.
Give us the gold, huh? Not, don't give us the goldo. We will send it back. All right, I will give us reputation.
That's our version of Goofus and Gallant.
Go on and goldo.
Go on and goldo.
Oh my god.
Don't be a goldo. Don't be a weird frog freak nasty. Question 8. Be honest, what is your worst quality? Jealousy? You care too much about your appearance? You care too much about your reputation?
Now that's just entrapment.
Yeah. You rely too much on family and friends, or overconfident?
Listen, Mr. Quiz Option, if you're Jace, you have to tell me. If you don't, it's not admissible.
I feel like that one was laid out bare for us.
It was, just because it's pretty good. Reputation, again. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Much like really. Trunks's. Speaking of swords, question 9. What is your favorable weapon? Bow and arrow.
You ass.
Yeah, clearly.
bow and arrows. Armor. Twin clubs. Catapults.
Wait.
Catapults?
Siege weaponry.
That's what I'm going with.
Or the pen.
Or the what?
Beneath catapults, it's the sword or the pen. Like in that favorite poem.
Yeah.
I like armor as a weapon because it's fully not a weapon.
Yeah, that's
the, stop the weapon.
That's the Dark Souls, you know, all shields run option. But I gotta go with catapults.
Yeah, I have to agree, just because it's so fucking bizarre.
It's really good.
It's extra, yeah.
That's how you win.
It is extra in the way that we appreciate, I think.
With a trebuchet. Alright, question 10. What job would you want? A boxer. Any. Military. A race car driver. A scientist. A CEO.
You know, most quizzes would format their questions to have all of the above be the last option of any given question. But they just kind of throw it in willy-nilly wherever the fuck they want.
Wherever the fuck they want. It's so good.
Just any job.
In this economy?
What was the last one?
CEO.
Do we want to take any.
Yeah, I personally like any as well.
Yeah.
Not picky.
Question 11. What instrument do you play or want to play? The tuba.
Catapult.
The accordion. Any. The drums. The triangle. Or the electric guitar.
Come on.
Tuba! I want to play tuba.
Are we going with tuba?
That works for me.
That seems to be the way the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
That's the note we're playing.
I feel that. Mm-hmm.
The note Desolation plays.
Thought it, but I didn't say it.
This last one is Buck Wild.
Oh, I can't wait.
Question 12. What was your favorite childhood toy? Video games / computers / video game consoles, etc.
Any.
You wait for it. Slingshots, water balloons, whoopee cushions, etc. Papers, pencils, books, etc. Roller skates, skateboards, bikes, etc. These are like food groups for toys. Marbles, Legos, classic toys, etc.
Classic.
They gave you maybe a ball and a cup. Dart guns, water guns, toy swords, etc.
I'm all about the water guns.
Books and paper.
I was torn between books and paper and games.
I am a gamer. I'm a video gamer. I have more of that shit than any of the other toys I ever owned. That and Power Rangers.
That's fair.
But I drew a lot also.
This is fair, yeah. And with paper, pencils, and books, the toy can be your imagination.
Whoa.
Or you can play a tabletop role-playing game like Punch Idiots.
Yeah. Or you can read the hit manga Dragon Ball.
You can draw the hit manga Dragon Ball.
You could.
Whoa. Be Akira Toriyama.
I want to be Akira Toriyama.
It's the only thing standing in your way.
He's my favorite member of the Ginyu Force.
I'm pretty sold on paper, pencils, books.
It seems like the the appropriate option.
All right, is everyone ready to find out who we really are?
I am not, but please tell us.
Okay. If there's a page two to this, I'm going to be so upset. The button froze.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
We'll never know. Hang on. I'm going to refresh it. Oh, my God. The button just doesn't work.
Are we literally never going to know?
We're never going to know.
We have transcended the Ginyu Force.
Members of the Ginyu Force, right? Five of them?
Yep.
Okay. Goldo, Raccoon, Jace, Birder, Ginyu. I'm going to roll a d5.
Of course. The only true way to know.
The only true way is chaos. I rolled a 3, so that would make... I guess that would be Jace.
All right.
We need to give the people an answer, damn it.
I'm Jace.
The answer we have concluded on is Jace.
It's memorable.
It's memorable.
We carry our recording equipment in a briefcase.
There you go.
Well, now that we have found that information out...
I guess.
How about we talk about some hit episodes?
Yeah.
Some hit episodes of equally hit anime, Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z, I love that hit anime.
It's my favorite hit anime.
How are we watching this hit anime?
Most of us are watching the dub on Funimation now. Sometimes we check in with the subs.
I didn't. I was lazy.
Nor did I.
Nothing really stood out this time as being bizarre enough to warrant it. I feel like they were pretty straight-laced this week. This week we're covering episodes 154, 155, and 156. 154, the English title is Saiyans Emerge.
The Japanese title roughly translates to, I will dispose of everything, a reborn Vegeta. Father and son, sally forth!
Whoa.
Damn. That's a title.
Sally forth.
Sally forth?
I love it.
Trunks continues where he left the last episode, emerging from the chamber, showing off his new hairdo.
He's got a cool hairdo. And he also has a cool line where he says, thanks for waiting, guys. like he makes it sound way cooler than it, like, he was probably intending it to be.
He makes it sound cool, but on the other hand, he had a year to come up with what he was going to say, and that's what he came up with.
I mean, you know he was standing on the other side of that door practicing it. Thanks for waiting.
Long time no see. That would have been better.
It feels like just a minute ago.
He begins to explain the training that they did and how it only took Vegeta about a month to achieve what he was after. But Vegeta cuts him off and he says the extent of their training is never to be discussed.
It's NDA.
Yeah.
Vegeta had a whole year to train his ego, I see. That's what he spent the other 11 months on.
Boy, did he.
Bud. Yeah.
Jeez. He is a massive ding-dong.
He is plus extra.
He is plus extra. Also,
extra,
like,
go beyond.
As far as the Z Fighters main characters go, this is once again one of the few times where Vegeta, like, legitimately actually is the strongest fucker on the beach today.
Yeah.
Like, by a wide margin.
Vegeta claims that there's no need for anyone else to do any of this training, because he is good enough to take care of it himself now.
Got it in one.
Don't even bother. I got it.
Don't you even think about going in there, Kakarot. Just let me have this.
He just doesn't want people to see the mess he left.
Aw.
Everyone else tries to convince Vegeta that he literally has no idea what he's up against. He has never met this creature and knows nothing about it, but he just laughs it all off.
He's the prince.
Like Vegeta does.
What was this cell to him? Nothing but an insect.
A bug for him to squash.
Under his boot.
Bulma does some stunt flying.
She loves it.
Oh, yeah, she does.
So does little Trunks.
Oh, that's endangerment, but he's loving it.
She realizes that she should probably hurry. So she straightens out and goes to Kami's place.
It's easy to get distracted when you're making a baby laugh.
That's fair.
Especially the best baby.
The best
the
baby.
The greatest baby.
18 and 16 are still resting in the woods. 18 is getting antsy, while 16 just simply sits and watches the birds some more.
It just chills out with some wildlife.
I love this. Like, just, I love quiet moments in anime stuff like this. I really love it. Especially paired with, like, the stuff we saw last week about, like, 18 or no, 16, talking about how life is good, and like these robots, they haven't been alive very long at all.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, you know, what has he got to be thinking about? Like, you know, what is this 2-day life I've had? Am I willing to die to this bug man to save my friends? He's just thinking about that, looking at these birds, and I really love him.
Bulma arrives at Kami's lookout and distributes the new Saiyan battle suits to anyone who's willing to put them on.
Everyone, including the actual show itself, has forgotten that these are Frieza Force uniforms, not Saiyan ones.
Yes.
Not that that would really change the substance of some of their complaints, but
yeah.
But I keep rolling my eyes at it. I will admit.
It's weird seeing Goku and Gohan. Well, not weird seeing Gohan, but weird seeing Goku in, like, Saiyan armor.
Yes.
Yeah. I like him in the just the blue onesie.
Yes.
He's rocking.
That's fine.
He's rocking.
Yes to both.
It's really kind of refreshing to see him in not a baggy orange gi.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's it.
Just a change of pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you know when he changes back into that, it's going to be like, oh shit, it's getting real.
That means it's go time.
Yeah.
Goku time.
Ho-ho.
One might say.
Trunks also looks pretty good in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it suits him.
I had an action figure of that.
Oh, cool.
He has Vegeta's face, so it already fits.
Might as well have his clothes.
Vegeta, similar to the time chamber, tells Goku to not even fucking wear it. he is so against Goku doing anything that would upstage him, even wearing his fucking clothes.
I mean, that's fair. You, like, if your rival shows up at fucking prom wearing the same dress as you...
Oh, no.
Yo.
Shows up at bug prom?
In your colors? Oh, no. That you've been... the fashion you've been rocking since friggin' start of term, and they show up to steal your fight girlfriend.
The blue onesie is my look.
The metaphor got away from me, but you get it.
I didn't realize this, but apparently Bulma brought armor for Tien and Piccolo to wear, but they just refused to do it.
Yeah, they don't want to wear the same shit that fucking Vegeta and Nappa were wearing.
Well, Piccolo doesn't want to wear the armor of the people that exterminated his species.
Also that.
Which I think is extremely reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's super fair. And we also get some unnecessary but well-appreciated hair lore.
Oh my god.
It is absolutely necessary.
This happens.
I like it.
Newcomers, how'd you take this information?
I kind of...
This I knew.
It was already a headcanon that I had.
It's just been confirmed.
Yeah,
because, I mean, Goku's hair always stayed the same, and Gohan got all the fun haircuts, and then, you know, Trunks comes out with longer hair.
Vegeta had bangs, but then when we, like, in the Broly movie, you flash back to him, he didn't, so...
There's an iconic phrase that is said a number of times in Homestuck that I think applies here, which is, well, shit, that's a hell of a mystery no one thought was a mystery and didn't even really need solving. But damn if it didn't just get solved, so nice work. That summarizes my feelings.
I thought it needed solving.
About this hair revelation.
The hair revelation being, for those who aren't in the know, that pure-blooded Saiyans, their hair grows to a certain length and then never changes.
Doesn't Vegeta say it doesn't change since the day they were born?
He might say that. I don't know that it is exactly that, because I assume that it grows while they're babies.
Probably. I don't know, since they're, like, in pods, maybe it's, like, when they get out of the pod, that's the hair they have. Mm-hmm. But maybe it grows after they're, like, born? I don't know.
We have seen Nappa's hair in flashbacks.
I think
and in the Bardock TV special. My headcanon has always been that he was waiting to see how long it grew, and it got to that, and he said, bald is better.
That's also...
I'll stick with this.
And it also upsets me, because in GT, Vegeta cuts his hair, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? It's never gonna grow back.
Oh, no.
You idiot. It's just another reason to hate GT.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Vegeta takes off to find Cell himself, and Trunks has to hurry along behind him after he gets some Zenzu beans from Goku.
He's only got two.
conveniently.
We get to see a design flaw of these of this Saiyan armor, and that it has no pockets.
Oh yeah, he just tucks it in his little clavicle.
It does, yeah. His storage clavicle. Need a deep recess because no one wants to fight with like a loose bean jumping around.
Trunks and I think Vegeta have like turtleneck blue jumpsuits. Goku has like a crew neck.
Oh yeah, just, you're right.
Just interesting.
What's Gohan rocking?
I forget.
We'll have to double check next time. Goku and Gohan head towards the chamber to begin their training, but then Goku remembers he has to eat first.
Of course. He forgot it was in his contract for a second.
Oh, Gohan has a crew neck.
Okay.
So Goku and Gohan are rocking the same fashion.
Oh, that's cute.
Cell is getting impatient, trying to find 18, so he decides that he's going to flush her out by shooting, or by shouting so loud that the whole Earth can hear him.
Now that's a holler.
This is very cool, honestly, I think. I really love this.
It is really cool.
Yes.
And this, the people on the ground are, like, reacting in weird ways, and I counted at least 3 separate Not Yamchas.
It's just a lot of Not Yamchas. Is this where we see the very good shirt?
There's a guy we need to talk about.
Yes.
Well, there's several guys we need to talk about.
A very good shirt here.
But I know who you're referring to.
Who did you want to talk about first, Dave?
I wanted to talk about the cowboy man who has been worried that the devil is coming for him.
Oh, yeah.
My God, that guy.
Jesus.
That guy.
This also needs to be discussed.
There's the cowboy man, as Dave put it.
Smoking a pipe.
He sees Cell flying in the sky and is not only convinced that it is the devil, but that it has come for him.
Who is this man? What is his name?
What has he done?
What hasn't he done?
What is his backstory? The guy that I was talking about is a man in one of these island cities wearing a t-shirt that inexplicably says the Super Saiyan on it.
Yep. It's so good.
How can that be?
Psychic?
It just got around, I guess.
It's not an Easter egg, because it's incredibly prominent in the shot.
Yeah.
Maybe Baba, like, went through a fashion designer phase, tried to have a line of t-shirts from her visions of the future.
This sounds like something we need to save for Hail Satan. But I will accept that for now.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
18 wonders if Cell will make good on his threats, which are to start blowing up islands one after another until she comes out. But 16 makes the prescient point that Cell probably wouldn't run the risk of accidentally killing her, because she is kind of important to his motivations. Cell runs the risk of accidentally killing 18.
Whoops.
Maybe.
He starts blowing up these islands.
He inherited all of his father's intelligences.
I'm going to miss the Not Yamchas that got blown up here.
And the old man whose prophecy about the devil came true.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
18 really doesn't want to let 16 get caught in one of these blasts because she might survive it, but he definitely won't in his damaged state.
Mm-hmm. She cares about her friend.
Meanwhile, 16 is being introspective, and we get some good dialogue from him, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he's trying to comprehend why Cell, who is already so powerful, is fixated on getting even more powerful, and what it's even for.
I'm type A!
This is interesting to me, because he started out, like, single-mindedly fixated on his own inbuilt directive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which was to defeat Goku.
Right.
He doesn't understand this.
Well, that's why I find it interesting, is because he's beginning to buck that.
Right, exactly.
And grapple with that conceptually.
I noted that he never actually came face-to-face with Goku, did he?
No.
Like, I wonder what he would do if he met him now.
Well, I wonder, because 16's sort of introspective revelation is brought on by the existential threat of Cell.
Yeah.
But there's not really any sort of existential threat to Cell yet.
Not yet.
Even with Goku... Like, that threat doesn't take the form of somebody following their own inbuilt directives. Like, Goku fighting Cell still is right in line with what Cell is programmed to do, which is defeat Goku.
Yeah.
And even if he fails that, it's still, like, within the parameters of you know, your goal. You can fail a goal and still be in line with that goal. Whereas mm-hmm. for, like, 16 and 18, this is completely, like, orthogonal to the goal. It's perpendicular. It just blindsided them out of nowhere.
Yeah, I feel like it would take something similarly blindsiding to Cell to get him to think about himself existentially.
Yeah.
And I wonder if we'll ever see anything like that in this series, this hit anime.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Like, it would have to be so buck wild and something that he couldn't even imagine being a possibility.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, I can't even imagine.
Anyway, Goku and Gohan finish their meals.
They have a fine Goku lunch.
Mm-hmm. And then they go to the chamber.
I have another Goku's advocate moment about why Goku waited till now to decide he needed to eat.
Yes.
Maybe he was worried about his friends. And he couldn't...
He was too worried to eat.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I believe it.
Because he was worried about, like, Tien and Piccolo got not killed, but we thought he was dead for a minute.
I mean, I absolutely believe
Vegeta
that about
were
affecting
in the time
his...
chamber.
Affecting his appetite in detrimental ways.
It affects
ways.
My appetite.
Yeah, it certainly affects mine that way.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety of some kind. Little Trunks is doing some training.
Oh, precious. So good.
It's very cute.
It's very good.
He's trying to climb up a pole.
He's a very good boy.
And Bulma is watching him carefully as he does so.
You'll be the strongest baby in the universe.
Gonna climb Korin's tower in no time.
Goku and Gohan enter the chamber, and now it is Gohan's turn to take in the staggering scope of this void.
From their lovely void side apartment.
That's a room with a view.
The view is everything and nothing at the same time.
Whoa.
I have a question.
Yes.
How old is Gohan when he goes into this chamber?
Man, let's do some math.
Do let's.
Does anybody remember what he is at the very beginning of the series? Did he say four?
He said four.
He was four for the Gohan ball.
Yeah.
Right. He becomes five... by the time he fights the Saiyans.
Yes, he is five when Vegeta and Nappa show up.
I feel like all
he's
of
like five
Namek...
and a half or six when they go to Namek.
I was gonna say, like, I feel like all of Namek is like takes place in less than a year because they say that they're gonna be back in like 6 months or 6 weeks
yeah.
or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just say that that's less than a year. Garlic Jr. plus the time skip that Trunks is like in 3 years, or is it 3 years?
Yeah, but how long was Goku in space for? I think that was another
that
year,
was a,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, that was a year. So we'll put him at six when Goku lands, right? And then nine when he, after 3 years of training before the androids show up. Does that make sense?
I would say 10, just to round up.
Alright, yeah, we'll round up. So he's 10 when he enters the chamber, and not really a spoiler alert, he will be 11 when he exits the chamber.
Yes.
Oh no, a spoiler.
Even though in fan circles, that version of Gohan is typically referred to as Teen Gohan.
Teen Gohan, you're right. But yeah, he's like 11, maybe 12.
Yeah, I don't think it's a correct nomenclature for him.
Yeah. Hmm.
Because there is definitely a Teen Gohan later.
You're right.
Who is much more of a teen that you would expect a teen to be.
He's very teen.
Any other notes for 154?
So I started talking a couple episodes ago about, like, my thoughts on how the energy works and the beams mm-hmm. and how you can destroy a planet with a beam and not destroy a planet with others. And this sort of training in this space kind of adds to that. 'Cause my idea is... put loosely that these the whole ki business and defense sort of depends on not just your willpower but your idea of yourself, that you can hold your shape by, like, knowing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I have an arm here and a leg there, but also in, like, you know, a grander sense. And, you know, so, like, a strong planet can withstand a beam, whereas a planet that's gone through an ecological disaster like Namek might, you know, get blown up pretty easy.
Sure.
But so it makes sense that this void place could be a place to train in a way that's not the same as training in 10 times gravity or 300 times gravity. Because Goku says that this is just 10 times gravity, and that should be, like,
yeah,
nothing.
It is to him, yeah.
So, I don't know, it seems like being in the void with nothing but yourself would be a great place to sort of fight your inner demons and sort of solidify in, like, a physical, spiritual sense, your idea of what you are, so you can
maybe
defend.
We'll see exactly that happening in the next
God
episode.
God damn it. I thought I was being all cool and smart.
That makes it very smart.
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
You're in line with what's happening.
Because otherwise what happens is just dumb.
Yeah.
If that's not the case.
Yeah, you're right.
The other thing I had to say is that at the very beginning of the show, I had mentioned that it seemed like Goku was a good dad, and Tyler, yeah, you kind of scoffed at that. And I kind of just accepted, like, oh, okay, Goku's a bad dad, whatever. And I have a confession to make. I really like Goku, and I think he's doing his best, and I think he cares about Gohan.
I think that all of those things are true, and none of those things make him a good dad.
Fair.
I wouldn't ever say that those were incorrect.
Okay.
I absolutely believe those things.
Ah.
I
just think that he is bad at it.
Oh, okay, yeah. He's not very good at it, but I wouldn't say that he's a bad dad.
By how much I like Goku compared to the beginning of the show. but it's also worth noting that, like, that's kind of graded on a curve for me, because I think Chi-Chi is a terrible, terrible mother.
Oh.
More so than Goku is a bad dad. So,
interesting.
It's like, yeah, whatever, for the most part.
Episode 155, the English title is Super Vegeta.
The Japanese title roughly translates to, suddenly, full throttle, the superpower of Radiant Vegeta.
Whoa.
Radiant Vegeta.
Full throttle. Mm-hmm. Turned into Kamen Rider Drive all of a sudden.
A little bit.
I'm here for it.
Cell is continuing his rampage, blowing up island after island. And
very
he's kind of losing... Yeah, he's losing his cool a bit about this.
Yeah.
He has gotten a lot more tenacious now that he is closer to his goal than ever before in his life.
Oh, I forgot. I did have a note for the last episode.
What do you got?
Someone else other than Krillin said that Cell was crazy.
Who is it this time?
Who was it? Was it... I think
I missed it.
It was 18, wasn't it?
Because
it's when he's bellowing his declaration to the world with his voice of the God Emperor, and she just whispers, he's crazy.
This guy's nuts. Vegeta powers up to Super Saiyan.
Yeah, he does.
Because he is also anxious to get into a fight. Trunks has to follow suit to keep up. We get a recap of everything that Goku and Gohan said in the last episode. About the void.
There it is.
Just in case
welcome
we forgot.
To void. We got food. We got a bed.
There,
we got void.
Okay. So there's two beds in the background of this shot that are next to each other. And Goku points to a bed off screen and says, you get that bed, Gohan.
It's just a race car.
Goku. He also says, I'm a stricter teacher than Piccolo, which... He
claims to be.
I doubt that.
I do too.
Well, I wouldn't refer to what he does to train him as strict. That wouldn't be the adjective I would choose.
Well, I have a question for you, Tyler, as the resident Dragon Ball watcher and thing knower. Has has Goku ever been a teacher before this? Really?
Define teacher.
Okay. Well,
attempted to intentionally impart knowledge to another being.
In an active way, I don't think so.
Right. Okay.
He's kind of a do it, like learn by doing it guy.
Oh yeah.
Which I can relate to. I feel like I'm a bad teacher, and I feel much more comfortable, like doing an example of a thing.
Oh yeah.
And saying like, I hope you figured it out from that, because I don't know how to explain it.
Teaching
otherwise.
Is like 15% knowing the thing. And 85% being able to communicate it to people reasonably.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's something that Goku would be particularly adept at.
More cities get blown up.
very quickly.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is a very scary game of cat and mouse.
I just wrote down, Jesus Christ, Cell.
This is Tom and Jerry where Tom just plugs all the mouse holes with dynamite.
Yeah.
Not even fucking around today.
Amazingly, he manages to blow up every island except for the one that they're on.
I wrote that down too. Maybe 16 picked the island. He's just really good at picking hiding spots.
I guess.
The least interesting island.
It was at this time that I noticed that I didn't realize this, but all the androids have the same eye color.
It's that, like, grayish color, right?
Yeah, that, like, grayish blue. And also, even Imperfect Cell has this eye color, too.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this official name is, like, Semi-Perfect Cell or something.
That's the only part of the aesthetic that Giroux locked in. He's like, these eyes, I love them. These are
these
perfect.
These eyes are the Giroux eyes.
These eyes are crying.
I'm just imagining him in the character creator.
Save to favorites.
Yeah.
Grayish blue eyes. Got him.
That's how it's like a...
Oh, God.
Every D&D character he's ever played has had grayish blue eyes.
He started with Android 19 and he just clicked similar face until he got to Cell somehow.
Gosh.
Giroux is a no middle sliders kind of player.
Everything about this makes so much more sense if you assume that the creation of the android's exteriors was essentially an episode of Monster Factory.
Yeah.
He prepares to blow up the last island, the one that the androids are on, when Vegeta arrives, and he gets right up in his fucking face.
Yeah.
I just liked the skidding halt that he came to when he was flying. It was just well animated, mm-hmm. His hair reacting correctly to that kind of stimulus.
I liked how 18 was looking at the scene and went, who's that?
Yeah.
It's the idiot you bodied a few days ago, bud.
Yeah. Vegeta and Cell do a bit of bantering, feeling each other out, because this is their first time meeting.
God, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It's what we like to call small talk.
Mm-hmm. And 16 and 18 decide to wait until the fighting starts to find a chance to escape in the meantime.
That's a good plan.
It will aid them in their stealth roles.
So do you guys remember Vegeta's good quote when he started fighting Android 19?
Oh, is it the one that's like, does a machine like you know fear?
We get another fan favorite line from Vegeta this week.
What is it?
When he is fighting Cell, he is powering up and he says,
are you ready now? To witness a power not seen for thousands of years?
This is like full-on pro wrestler intro, like sparks are flying. Like, I'm expecting some heavy metal guitars in the background, lightning. So what happens? He gets beefier.
He gets very beefy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big beefy prince. This is a far cry from, like, the svelte, like, bratty boy prince that landed on Earth so far ago. Like, the model has just slowly, like, been getting those gains.
I believe Tyler established the technical term, which is imbeefin'.
That's true.
Gotta use that jargon.
We cut over, briefly, to Goku explaining the mechanics of the chamber, about how the temperature can rapidly shift. The air gets denser the farther out you go, and that the gravity is 10 times that of Earth, as Gohan falls to his knees when he first steps out.
Honestly, Gohan has an easier time than Goku did when he first encountered 10 times gravity.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
It's true.
Which makes sense.
Goku tells Gohan that during this year, he is going to make Gohan a Super Saiyan.
he's
gotta get
up.
Him up to that level before they can do the actual training.
Full on, like, let's get down to business style the training montage.
To defeat the bugs.
I love this. Goku loves his boy. This is a Goku good dad moment because, like, quite
points
the opposite of what we've seen. Yeah, 10 points to Goku-dor. Because what we've seen so far with, like, father-son bonding vis-a-vis training is, you know, Vegeta being a massive shithead all damn day. And here Goku's just like, no, you're doing good. It's fine. You're gonna get used to the gravity. No, we're gonna work on this together. And, you know, I'm gonna be a tough teacher. I'm gonna be tougher than Piccolo, but, like, you know, I have faith in you and I have confidence in you. He seems like a positive reinforcement kind of guy is what I'm saying.
Yes, very much so.
He's doing a good job. He might be tougher than Piccolo, but is he tougher than Chi-Chi?
No one's tougher than Chi-Chi.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Correct answer.
There's the real...
This was a quiz, and you passed.
Yes.
Back to Vegeta powering up, his hair has somehow gotten even spikier.
Like, maybe a little lighter, even?
A power truly unseen in thousands of years.
Truly. I don't know how to describe what we see when he finishes powering up. He's, like, slick, kind of.
He's a little shiny.
He's shiny. His suit is shiny.
Very specular lighting. Like, when I say in Beefin, like, I really mean, like, they rendered in, like, that cut on, like, the deltoid that separates.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it we get hard lines, and that's what I... That's very indicative of what makes me think of, like, the art in, like, the Cell Saga, is just the muscles get very, like, hard-edged.
Yeah, he looks like he's made of diamond.
It's a good way to be.
When he finishes powering up, he lunges at Cell with a gut punch, because that's what you do.
This is some gut punch.
And he just leaves it there for the rest of the episode. Any other notes for 155?
I only had one, and that was up on the lookout. Click, click, click. we had like Tien and Piccolo. They're kind of now the Greek chorus. Did you sense that kind of people over on the lookout? Because there's always like one or two motherfuckers in each of these looking on. And Tien and Piccolo are like, "Oh, did you feel that? Yes, Vegeta's gotten really powerful. Oh, is he powerful enough to beat Cell?" And I don't know why I noticed this, but apparently, like, Piccolo can, like, don his Piccolo cloak as, like, a free action.
Clothes
Jason,
beam.
That's his... It's his clothes
yeah.
beam, Jason.
Yeah.
Get with... just a small flutter of cloth,
get
and then, like,
the
suddenly he's got it. It's so good.
I'm glad that we all thought it.
Summons it from the aether.
Like, it's like his bound spectral weapon. Like, he can just call it.
Well, because when he removes it, it's weird, too, because when I forget if I've brought this out on the podcast, but, like, he doesn't take it off over his head. He just sort of pulls it forward.
Yeah.
Does it really?
Yeah. And then it's...
Oh, wow.
It clunks to the ground as if it suddenly turns to stone.
I like the idea of, like, he's just got... It looks like an elaborate cowl with, like, folds and stuff, but, like a scarf. Really, it's just, like, very cleverly held Velcro so that he can just pull it forward.
It's tear away.
He grunts when he tears it away so it masks the sound of, like, the rivets popping.
This is a loud cough.
Battle.
156, the English title is Bow to the Prince.
Hell yes.
I have to do this in a voice. The Japanese title roughly translates to On Your Knees, Cell! I am Super Vegeta!
Good.
Whoa.
I can only do that once. I wanted to make a note that the narrator... I have to go back now and figure out if he's done this every time. But he always refers... In the same way that Trunks is always the boy from the future, Android 18 is always the beautiful Android 18.
Yeah.
Or the digital beauty or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about beauty.
Yes.
And I'm like, come on, she's like a crazy good fighter. Does this always have to be about her looks?
Yeah.
Right.
Come on, narrator.
I think Android 16 is very beautiful, but I don't hear none of that. I hear her battered buddy, Android 16.
What I thought about him was when he was hanging out with these squirrels, I thought of Kronk. In the Emperor's New Groove, and I'm like, 16 could absolutely become a junior chipmunk.
Of course.
Yeah.
No,
squeakity squeak. Squeaking.
Yeah. You know he could probably cook a mean spinach puff.
Oh man, you don't even know.
So we see the blow that Super Vegeta did in the last episode to Cell, and it reverberates through his whole body in a very yucky way.
Sure does.
No good.
Like, he shudders. Like C-E-L-L-O.
Yeah. It's not great.
It's gelatinous chitin. Chitin.
He's like a, you know, he's like a very juicy wind chime.
Ugh.
I hated that phrase, and I'm very sorry.
Cell claims to love Vegeta's classic Saiyan wit.
Sal, what do you even know?
That's a bit of a burn,
know?
I think.
He didn't even tell him about any of his old tricks. What's he talking about?
Yeah.
Vegeta proceeds to make Cell look like a chump.
Damn right he does.
He even manages to draw some blood from him.
And it's
he just
purple.
Batters him around. Yeah.
It's not weird, clearish acid blood.
While Trunks watches the fight, he reminisces about the time in the time chamber, and he for sure got the void madness.
Oh, he got the void madness fucking bad.
Day one, he got the void madness.
He had some dad feelings to deal with. He's having a rough time.
And to your point earlier, Aaron.
Yeah.
I think we see Vegeta fighting his own demons.
Yeah.
His training is to shout at the heavens.
Until he catches on fire.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Trunks is like, I thought the chamber was setting him ablaze, but no. It was his burning passion to be the strongest in the universe that created the flames. Boy, howdy. This Ahab motherfucker over here in the void.
Trunks continues to delude himself that he will ever be able to prove himself worthy to his father.
Oh, God.
He's sure he's gonna do it, though.
And he gets surrounded by ice, which is symbolic because it means he's growing cold and distant from his father. Hug your son!
He's gonna prove himself to his father just like Vegeta's gonna surpass Kakarot.
Any minute
that,
now.
That bad, huh?
You can't help what your heart desires.
It's true.
I made a note, a quick animation note for the void. Vegeta, when he's doing a big ol' holler, has a set of some very shiny and very spherical teeth.
I didn't catch that.
Just got a case of bad holler mouth.
You gotta watch out.
Krillin is making his way to the battlefield, now following Vegeta's enormous energy signal. Up on the lookout, Bulma wants to know how the fight's going, and Tien lets her know that Vegeta is whipping Cell's ass, which is information that she relays to Little Trunks.
Little Trunks.
That's right.
A very good pace.
That's right.
Piccolo is not so optimistic, which is par for the course.
Yeah, what is Piccolo's deal? He's like all grunty and he's got like a tension sweat drop.
This was another great Piccolo moment, though.
Yeah.
Very similar to him saying how much he hated Cell on the TV. He realizes that Vegeta is merely toying with Cell to satisfy his own ego, which is leaving the risk that Cell will somehow find 18 in the meantime. And I think this is where we cut to, like, a wide shot of the lookout, and Piccolo just is shouting, Vegeta! God damn it! Do the damn thing!
Squish the bug!
Yeah, that's both Piccolo and Kami crying out, Do the damn thing, Vegeta! Christ!
Goku and Gohan are hard at work in the void. And Goku tries to explain how to be a Super Saiyan.
Clearly.
This is another fan favorite line from the show.
Oh boy.
This was, yeah.
With some incredibly inappropriate music laid over it.
Bump, bop, bop, bump.
Yeah.
He tells Gohan,
The power comes in response to a need, not a desire.
What?
This made perfect sense to me, but I don't know how to put it into words.
I'm not getting it.
Well, the two words mean different things. Like,
yeah,
like it's... you want it, and you can want it really badly.
You want it for its sake.
Whereas the need is like it's external. It's gotta get done. The image that I get is, so I used to be a summer camp counselor, and we'd have kids for like Monday through Friday, and you'd have 3 to 6 youngsters that you would be responsible for. For those days, 23 hours of the day, and you would go without food sometimes, you would go without sleep because kids would wake you up because they'd have to go to the bathroom, and like, by God, you're still gonna do all of the hand clapping of boom chicka boom, and you're gonna go all out on janitor style because it needs to be done. There is no... like stopping to think, boy, I need a nap because there is no nap to be taken.
By God, Baby Shark difference. Is going to happen.
Well, you can't say better than that.
No, you can't.
makes perfect sense.
We've proved once again that Aaron is profoundly qualified to be on this podcast.
Oh, shucks.
Goku wants Gohan to try and utilize the power of loss, but Gohan says he hasn't really lost much.
This is a tricky little cheat code, because Goku's like, eh, it's easy, just use trauma to ascend.
Yeah.
Dummy.
This is...
Just use extreme emotional pain.
Yeah.
Now, this is again where we get a comparison. Graded on kind of the Dragon Ball Z universe's curve of Gohan's two dads and their capacity as parents. Piccolo is the one who beat the shit out of him for half a year.
Yeah.
And he is not the dad who has put Gohan through the most fucked up thing. In my opinion. This is fucked up, man. Hey, like, imagine me and everyone else you care about getting murdered.
It's not the best.
It's not great, but also, I mean, in the circumstances...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you want to train and stop that from happening, because if, you know, if they can't get strong enough, that's the thing that will happen.
Yeah, no, I'm not... You're not wrong. It still is... I think you have to be as crazy as Goku.
Yeah.
To think this
is a good... worthwhile thing to put a kid through.
Yeah. Again, it takes a defter hand than he has.
Yeah.
Like, I think a more sensitive person could maybe handle it better than Goku.
Yeah, I can see that.
So Gohan thinks back to the time that he saw his friends killed by Frieza, because he hasn't seen Cell yet, so he can't imagine that. Which is fair. And for a brief moment, his hair flickers golden.
I remember this part as a kid, and I lost my damn mind. I was like, oh my god!
Hacked. I feel like, I suppose, now that I think about it, there is probably an element to this that is like Gohan getting a chance to process some stuff that happened on Namek that he hasn't really had the chance to, hasn't had any context to think about before now.
Yeah.
There's something to that, honestly.
Yeah, I believe that.
And also, like, he's a little kid, and emotions are big, and you don't necessarily, like, kids are smart, and they are able to feel and process emotions, but they don't always have ways to put words to them or connect them to the actions that they want.
I also want to establish, these are the things that I think. none of them mean that I think that, like, the writing is bad, or that it shouldn't be that way, or that it's not what the characters would do, or that it makes me enjoy watching the show any less. None of those things are true. I just also think that this is screwed up. Like, that's what's happening in this show right now, that a screwed up thing is happening. And I like stories where screwed up things happen.
I agree with you.
No, I'm just like there's I feel like it's often in this day and age that, like, if you say that, like the idea that thinking that a character is doing something that you don't agree with, and, like, thinking that the story where that thing happened shouldn't have been written, or that it was, like, bad writing or whatever, like...
You can't separate the two.
Like, those things are completely separate, and I feel like in this day and age that needs to be emphasized. Like,
yeah, that's a really good point.
For a couple of reasons. In large part because I do not want to be mistaken for a person who can't separate those things under any circumstances.
Reputation.
Yes, listen.
That's true.
Listen. I have a brand. I guess. Right now my brand is the guy who talks about funny subtitle things on Destructive Discourse. Anyway.
Krillin reaches the island that the fight is taking place on. He's in the sky, and Cell powers up to try and compete with Vegeta. Vegeta is still not impressed, and it is at this point that Cell finally acknowledges that Vegeta has become something far greater than he ever was before.
Whoa.
Like, you are definitely not the Vegeta that is in my memory banks.
Even in, this is the one part where I flipped over between the sub and the dub, and even here, they make a show about calling him Super Vegeta.
Yes. This is where Vegeta proves that he's bad at titling things. Because he introduces himself as Super Vegeta.
Super Vegeta.
It's like Super Saiyan, but specific to me.
Again.
Yes.
A whole year to come up with what he was going to call that.
doesn't fall too far from the tree.
That's true.
Oh, God.
Any other notes for 156 or the rest of this week?
So that intro to 156 has some more Stan Lee style. I remember. I thought, actually, you won't comment on that, so I didn't write down what they were specifically. Because I didn't think I was going to have to remember.
Yeah, I've stopped taking down the explicit examples because it's just constant. So just know that it is still occurring, dear listeners.
Yeah, I've used up all my good thoughts.
Well, how about we hail Satan?
Yes.
What does that what does that look like at this point?
And also Marin Minnit.
Yes.
Yes.
Should we come up with a term for all of this now?
For what?
I feel like having them separated is cumbersome.
Mm. It's just like the Dragon Ball Z expanded universe in general.
Yeah. I was thinking of like Dragon World Tour or something.
Mm. I like that.
Mm. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Get into that.
Just simplify it.
Yeah.
What happened last time in our extended universe is that Marin went to Raditz's birthday party / fashion show, got in a fight with Princess Snake, and is about to be eaten by said snake, and will somehow find a way out of it this week. I didn't think about it at all, so we're coming up with it on the fly.
That's right.
And also, Hercule and Videl had a movie night, and they watched Shrek. And critiqued his wrestling moves. What is happening with Marin?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked. So, she's wrapped up in Princess Snake's coils. Princess Snake is in snake form. They're floating in the clouds. Maybe, I don't know, Cumulus, her cloud hunk friend, is nowhere to be found. He's off, I don't know, sunbathing. Raditz is somewhere.
Getting a new job.
Yeah, decided this was not a fight he wanted to be a part of. Didn't want to get caught in the middle of this and sort of exited stage left. Or maybe Raditz didn't leave. Maybe he's standing on Snake Way, being like, no, don't. She's
nope.
Chill.
Babe.
Who's that coming in a car down Snake Way? But some lady hunkos, like, excuse me, we heard... There was a cool dude. A cool
some
dude
lady
over
hell
here.
Hunkos.
Are you Raditz? Can we have your
like
autograph?
Like he has the same ability to just conjure hunkos essentially from thin air that Marin does.
Yep.
We gotta give him something.
I've got a plan.
Okay.
I am enraptured, much like Marin.
And, well, yeah, and, like, Princess Snake was, like, about to bite Marin, and then she just, like, looks up and has those big anime eyes that when something you totally don't expect happens, and you're like, what?
Nani?
Yeah, that's the word. And some other lady hunkos come parachuting in from God knows where. A cirrus cloud. A lady hunko cloud. Raditz is like, what? And then... there's a pause, and all these hunkos are like, it's him! And he gets kidnapped by the crowd of hunkos.
Oh, no.
And Princess Snake looks at Marin and is like, you did this.
It's like my favorite movie, Hercules.
And Marin's like, oh, yeah, my bad. I totally blabbed about my new cool friend, Raditz, who I met a minute ago. I called all my girlfriends.
Blasted it over Snapchat.
Yep. Yeah, oh,
all
you
her girl,
know
all her girlfriends
there was some
in the afterlife.
Right.
So Princess Snake and Marin look at each other and realize they're going to have to team up to rescue Raditz from these lady hunkos.
I just really appreciate the idea.
And probably some
of
dude hunkos.
Female
it's
hunkos.
All, it's all good.
That's the gender neutral term. That's wonderful.
Of course.
And I can actually think in my head right now several characters who are female hunkos.
A hunko is a state of mind.
Yeah.
You don't even have to necessarily be extremely muscular to be a hunko.
No, just sporty.
Yeah.
You just gotta own it.
What about on Earth?
A bunch of islands are blowing up.
Yes.
Many of which are apparently
this
inhabited.
Is important.
I really want to know about the guy that the devil was coming for him.
Yeah, I do too.
What'd he do?
And also... fucking Baba's t-shirt emporium.
Yeah.
Now, perhaps she was inspired by Dr. Giroux's merchandising. Dr. Giroux's money-making schemes.
Yeah.
If he can fund his mad science, I can fund my witch magic.
Yeah. By selling t-shirts.
Those crystals ain't gonna mine themselves.
No, and they keep fucking getting... The balls keep getting broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's saving up to get a new one. So she has to sell, like, fun mashup shirts. So she's just got one that's, like, the Super Saiyan, and then the other one's just, like, the Super Who Locks Saiyan. And it's just, like, Vegeta, but he's got, like, a coat.
What does she tell people Super Saiyan means?
It means you are living your best life. It's like...
It means no worries.
God... I feel like random Earthos wandering around with, like, they don't even know what a Saiyan is.
Yeah.
I like them wandering around with the Super Saiyan is the same weird energy as, like, yogis in the suburbs running around with, like, tank tops that just have the Om symbol on it. It's so, like, you don't super know what that means, but I mean, I'll go for it, Brenda.
I guess you're into it.
Does she have other shirts? Other fashions?
Based on, like, weird future predictions.
There's just one with, like, a dog on a jet ski, and it says, "That guy's nuts."
I want that shirt.
There's a random boardwalk t-shirt.
I want
There's a boardwalk t-shirt, which is the one I'm wearing, and it just says, "Digital diva with blonde hair and a bad attitude."
And, of course, one that says Mondo Cool.
Absolutely Mondo Cool. Are you fucking kidding me?
Ooh, maybe there's one with, like, a bug coming out of the ground. It just says, "Bug in the ground."
or it's like a weird airbrushed county fair thing where it's just like, "Quit bugging me."
God.
And it's like Cell coming out of the ground, but he's, like, weirdly airbrushed like a hot lady on a car, and he's got shades.
I love it.
He's holding double fisting a couple of margs.
Yeah, you know, Baba is related to Master Roshi.
That's a visual.
She probably has about as good a taste as him.
Yeah!
Jason, is it too late to switch the cover art? to sell double fisting margs.
Quit bugging me.
I love this image because, like, I feel like Baba is not very hip.
No.
So the idea that she creates these shirts by, like, using fortune telling to predict what will be successful for her to make, and, like, these are the results, and she's like, "What is this? What?"
She's throwing spaghetti.
What is going on with the kids these days?
What else did we have to talk about, human wise?
The devil guy.
The old devil guy. What was his deal?
Well, I mean, he probably thought he sold his soul to the devil for something.
For one of those... He sold his soul for one of those, like, peaches.
Oh.
One of the hell peaches, and he made a real slapping cobbler out of it.
Who did he get the peach from? Who did he sell his soul to? Did he actually successfully sell his soul to this person, or what?
Was it Raditz trying to run a scam?
Yes.
So this is recent.
Yeah, this just happened yesterday.
I expected that this was guilt that he had his whole life, but you're saying that this was, like, yesterday.
Long life of misdeeds.
He can treat it like he's had it his whole life, but it could have happened last weekend.
The Raditz said he was going out to get a job, and hey, you know, when you're in hell, time is weird. We've established this.
Yeah.
Maybe Raditz went through a time hole. He took a left turn at yesterday when he was supposed to turn up.
Well, he sent out his resume, and the calls weren't coming yet, so he needed to find something to make money off of, so he just stole a bunch of peaches and sold them to Earthlings.
It's like those,
And
like
said, "If you tell anyone about this, the devil will come and get you."
It's like those farmer market fruit stands that you see sometimes with, like fresh peaches, but they're like fresh peaches in very small print under it, from hell, and, like, "Please don't tell anybody about this, because otherwise the devil will actually come to take your soul."
Is there a connection to Scratch and Dr. Briefs?
Oh.
Hmm.
That was going to be my suggestion, that he was a failed...
That's a better suggestion, I think.
He was a
like
failed that. Host for Scratch.
For the Devil Cat.
Yeah, that moved on he to was, approach the Briefs family.
I like that. Yeah. He may be like another scientist who failed.
Yeah, or maybe at that point it wasn't science. It wasn't dark science that Scratch was interested in. It was more mundane things.
Did he fail because he had morals that Dr. Briefs lacks?
Oh. He got out, but he was already in too deep.
Yeah. Dr. Briefs was the more worthy host because he don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a whole life's worth of hideous deeds before eventually he finally realized what was happening and stepped back from the brink and went into seclusion, waiting for God's vengeance to come down upon him all this time.
And if we are to take our suggestion a couple episodes ago when they went back to the lab that Dr. Briefs was conspiring with Dr. Giroux, then the devil did come back to get him.
That darn devil.
This got spicy.
That scratches. He plays the long game.
Yeah, he's really a, long game.
He's efficient.
No loose ends.
So is he just responsible for, like, what tanks and, like, military weaponry we see that isn't already emblazoned with the Capsule Corp logo?
Yeah, I like that.
Cool.
What's his name?
Oh, no. For the Devil Man? Mm-hmm.
What family of clothing did the devil try out before underwear?
Oh, jeez. Necktie.
I was gonna say, is his name just like Duster?
Ooh, Duster.
Like a jacket or something.
Oh my god, I love that.
Oh, that's old Duster, always talking about the devil.
Oh, the devil Dusty's came devil. For Duster's soul.
And everyone else's too, I guess.
On all those islands. To that point, the last thing I wanted to say for Hail Satan is he took that break because he assumed that the big guy covered in birds would deal with it, and then he wakes up the next day to the devastation of that archipelago. Oh. And he's just like, couldn't even go one damn day. So he has to hold a press conference where he denounces the Birdman as ever having anything to do with it.
I'm not affiliated
and
with him.
Do not associate with this individual. We wish to distance our brand.
He betrayed us.
Our relationship was greatly exaggerated in the news. We had nothing to do with one another. I've never met him. And he vows to take care of the menace again. Personally.
Oh, God.
I'm going myself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
How long till we finally meet him?
Not too much longer.
Actually, yeah, you're right.
Nice.
Jason.
Yeah.
How about a 4-star reading?
Oh, I'd love to give one. at the end of each episode here, we like to flip over to the horoscope section and read something for one of our Z-fighters. because some of these characters have canonical birthdays and thus have canonical astrological signs, but not in this case. In this case, we'll have to take the character's manga debut date, reverse engineer it, and make a birthday out of that. The character in question originally debuted on November 7th, 1988, and that would make Vegeta a Scorpio. Vegeta, this is your reading. This day will be going along quite smoothly, all in all, but around late afternoon, some interesting news will come your way. This news could cause you to get a little frustrated with someone you've been having problems with. It would be best to avoid conflict at all costs right now, because your emotions are a little bit heightened, and it won't take much to set you off.
Uh-oh.
So as soon as you get wind of this news, do whatever you need to keep a level mindset.
buddy. Wonder if he'll listen
like
to that.
I feel like this isn't something that is relevant to this specific chunk of episodes, but I believe in the very near future, we're going to have to look back on this.
I can see the storm clouds on the horizon.
Keep
I am terrified.
Keep this horoscope in the back of your mind next week.
Put a pin in it, how about?
Well, thank you all for listening. I appreciate everyone who tunes in every week. Dave, where can people find you around the internet?
I can still be found at Scythe, PSYTHE, on Archive of Our Own.
Aaron, what would you like the friends to know?
I don't do much on the internet, but if you happen to find yourself in or around Dayton, Ohio, you can come to the Black Box Improv Comedy Theater. We have shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I perform with a group on Thursday nights.
And Jason, I hear there's some new stuff brewing in your corner.
Yes, on the horizon, there are a few new social media outlets that you can reach me and find the things I do at. You can reach me at Twitter and Instagram and Twitch.tv.
Oh.
And the name for all three of those is the same. That's right, it's Jaycalves, J-A-Y-C-A-L-V-E-S. I don't stream super frequently, but if you follow and get notifications, then you'll know what I do. And usually I play games or draw, and maybe you can, you know, maybe you can tune in on some Destructo Discourse-based artwork or something.
Oh.
There's a TV show airing that I worked on as an animator. It's called Laser Wolf. It airs on Sundays. It's also up on AdultSwim.com, and they put at least the first episode on their YouTube page.
Ooh.
If you would like to check it out. And I would appreciate it if you did. Because I hope it does really well, and we get to keep making it. Because I fucking love it.
Yeah, you say you had a lot of fun on this one.
Oh, yeah.
It looks really good.
It's very funny. It was a lot of fun to draw. I hope it sticks around.
Yeah, I like the visual style.
Yeah, it was very much inspired by old UPA style cartoons. Like, what's his name?
Oh.
Gerald McBoing Boing, is that it?
I
think that's it. It's a very simple style for
it's
cartoons.
It's ringing some bells, but I love me some Oopa. I love that old art style.
Yeah, very, very rubber hosey also.
Mm.
Which was fun. If you'd like to contact this show directly, there's a couple ways to do so. We are on Twitter at Destructo_disc, D-I-S-C. Pinned there is a tweet that has an invitation to our Discord server for fans, the Destructo Discord. And we have a Gmail account, which is destructodiscourse@gmail.com, if you'd like to email questions. And we could read them on the show if you'd like, or we could just get back to you personally. Either way, if you'd like to help other people find out about the show, please leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Google Play or wherever you listen to this podcast. And when you do so, please make it a 4-star rating.
And you know why at this point.
Give us the Gohan.
Give us the Gohan.
Bow to the Gohan. This has been Destructo Discourse, and we're just getting warmed up. If the road ahead you seem so cold and gray, when night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, you'll fly away. Chala, inshallah, no time to hesitate. Surprise! Oh, chala, hey, chala. Be cool, don't be afraid. You got the power to get you through.